Good morning and welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Melinda Lagos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazines, and we have an awesome show for you today. Who do you guys think is going to be here in the studio or with us on the phone?
Nicole Rollander.
President Barack Obama.
Close. No, no. Nicole is going to be here.
I am here.
So congrats. Happy
Thank
to see you.
I'm happy to be here.
No, Barack Obama. It's better than a Barack Obama.
Keith Richards.
No.
Better than that.
Randy Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
How did you know?
I just had an inkling.
Facebook's former director of market development, Randy Zuckerberg, is going to be here, and she's going to tell us how to rock the social media world. So we're very excited about that. Randy's also going to be speaking at ASI Show New York, of course, next year. So we're really excited to have her in just a few minutes. And, of course, we've got our lovely Kathy Houston here.
Oh, thank you.
And Andy Cohn, editor of Counselor Magazine, is in the house.
Not lovely.
What's up?
Everyone's favorite managing editor. Joe Haley is here, and he's got a bear with him, which I guess she'll be talking about later.
Yes, he's very nice.
He's also got a tie-in, which maybe
and
we should discuss.
Hat.
Michelle Bell is here with BlackBerry in hand. Are you tweeting?
I'm tweeting right now so people know what we're doing.
She's just ignoring us.
Well, there's that.
Rooster is managing our tech booth. Vinnie Driscoll is here. He's going to be answering if anyone calls in. We're going to first talk to Randy Zuckerberg, but if anyone wants to call in later and tell us what's on their mind, they can call us at 215-953-4979. And Vinnie's got his hair pulled back today in a brand new look.
Oh.
Joe, what else is on tap for today's show?
Well, Kathy has 7 steps to closing a deal via email. One would think you have to be in person to do that, but obviously not. Small biz strategies.
You'd be wrong.
3 things to do in December. Andy has that for you in December. We've got 4 weeks left, and there's going to be a big year. 10 biggest mistakes made by small business owners. Nicole has a look at that.
Maybe 3 of them.
What would George do? WWGD, what would George do?
That would
George
be Costanza, not Bush.
Oh. Yeah, I was going to say, Joe could do that one.
Michelle has that. How to hire the right people for your sales team. Kathy, we got our favorite things, and we're going to start it all off, though, with the industry news in 60 seconds. Andy, go.
All right, thanks, Joe. We begin this morning with news impacting online commerce. Congress is currently debating 3 separate bills that call for federal sales tax placed on all goods ordered on the Internet. One of the bills exempts smaller online sellers and focuses more on large retailers. None of the measures are set for a vote just yet. Check out Promogram for details. On to news out of San Francisco. A measure went into place in the city last week that bans restaurants from giving away promotional toys along with high-calorie kids' meals. Some local McDonald's outlets, though, have found a loophole in the new law. They're charging 10 cents for the toys and donating the extra revenue to charity. Score 1 for the Happy Meal. On to top 40 acquisition news now. New Wave Group, the Sweden-based parent company. Yeah, I hear you laughing. Oh, top 40 supplier Cutter & Buck has acquired Canada-based Paris Glove, a maker of sports, fashion, and industrial gloves. Paris Glove also sells a line of scarves and headwear. All 90 of the company's employees will now join New Wave Group. Some sad news now. Chuck Caliendo, the co-founder and former CEO of top 40 distributor firm CSE, passed away on December 1st. He was 75. And finally, make sure to check out the latest episode of The Joe Show and Promogram today. Joe, what is hot for today?
Andy, it's the first ever all-wearables Joe Show. Ever. Four
ever.
Years.
Wow.
First
so you're
ever.
Be wearing
all wearables.
Clothes.
I do. I wear a hoodie.
Are you wearing a tie?
I'm wearing a tie today, but not in the video.
Not in the video.
I am not.
Oh, so I guess it
was. We are looking
today.
Forward to seeing that. But in the meantime, we have a very, very special guest on the phone, Randy Zuckerberg, the former director of market development for Facebook and also CEO Mark Zuckerberg's sister. Randy's led Facebook's strategies for election and international politics strategy, and in addition to marketing and media partnerships with companies like ABC News and CNN, and she recently launched her own digital media company, R2Z Media. Good morning, Randy Zuckerberg.
Hi.
We're so happy to have you on the show today.
Thanks. I'm so happy, too. It's bright and early out in sunny California.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, we appreciate you calling in so early. And we're very, very excited to have you come and keynote for us in New York in May. So we're looking forward to that. But we've got a couple questions for you this morning, if you're awake enough.
Sure.
All right. Well, as Facebook's former director of market development, you really worked to create a global brand that has basically changed the way that we all live, work, and communicate. So with that in mind, what tips can you share for creating a really strong, ubiquitous brand?
Thanks. So I think first of all, the first thing that I would tell anyone is to really focus on being useful, not on being cool. We had a lot of conversations internally about, you know, how could we really provide a product that was so useful to people that they would want to use it around the clock, like email. And there were a lot of our competitors at the time that I think were more focused on building a brand that was hip or cool and buzzworthy of the moment, and we really took a reverse strategy, which paid off well for us. I also think it's easy to get caught up in the bubble working inside your company, so I would really recommend to anyone who wants to create a strong global brand to make sure to get out there and talk to the people who are using your product. That's something that I really started doing later on, and I wish that I had done a lot of that earlier.
Can you give me an example of that, Randy?
Sure. So, for example, Facebook was open to college students only for a very long time, which was it's a great product market fit. When I started getting out there and talking to people, though, I realized that a lot of people who were using the product were in the military, and they were using Facebook to keep in touch from abroad. They were seeing the birth of their children through Facebook photos. They were using it to connect people back home. And after seeing that, we made sure that the military was the next group of people that we launched Facebook to after college students.
That's very cool.
That's great. Hi, Randy. This is Nicole. So we all know you're an expert in harnessing the power of social media to strengthen and grow business relationships. Can you share some tips with our listeners for effectively connecting with potential clients and business partners in cyberspace?
Sure. I think, first of all, social media is a great way to get the attention of anyone, especially a potential client or a business partner. So if you admire the work that a person or a company is doing, a great thing to do is, you know, find some great press articles about that person or write, a flattering opinion piece about that company's new launch or campaign, and then at reply them on Twitter or tag them on Facebook. People, are real suckers for flattery, and social media is a great way to get someone's attention in that regard. I also think make sure that you really engage when you're on social media. Don't just be broadcasting one way everything that you're thinking and doing. You want to really make sure to respond to people and have a conversation.
So what's a good opening? A lot of our people head up small businesses and haven't used Facebook a lot. What's a good opening line to connect with someone?
Well, I think the first thing that I might do is, if you really want to connect with someone, a potential client, I would find a really great press article that's written about that client, and I would, post that on Facebook and on Twitter, and make sure that you, you at reply the company and the client who you're talking about. You can say, excellent, excellent article about so-and-so. I love how they're doing X, and make sure to tag them. And then I think that provides a really great, you pop up in their radar as someone who cares about their company and is interested, and then that's a great way to open a dialogue.
Hi, Randy. While at Facebook, you led the company's U.S. election and international politics strategy and also helped launch Facebook Live, which was streaming coverage of the presidential inauguration. So those were obviously huge efforts. Our audience is also involved in, motivating people and putting a team together. So what are your best tips for leading and motivating a team, whether it's a huge project like that, like I talked about, or something even smaller?
Sure. I think that the interesting thing about both those projects is that they both started off pretty small. They just started off as, a kernel of an idea. And as we saw the potential as a team, it just grew and grew as the excitement grew. So my advice when working with a team is that I think it's really important to have a culture where people truly believe a good idea can come from anywhere. And no matter what your position is on the team, you feel like you can chime in with an idea or brainstorm. I've worked on a lot of team where orders just come down from the top, and I think it's much more effective in creating something truly groundbreaking when you can empower people on the team to be experts. So, for example, for the live streaming example for the inauguration, there are so many new challenges to conquer. We had to make sure that the live stream actually stayed up and didn't crash with 30 million concurrent viewers. And so we really had to empower everyone on the team to be an expert in their space and come up with really interesting challenges and solutions to these problems.
Great. Randy, who do you admire most and why?
Oh, gosh, there's so many people I admire. You know, right now I just finished reading Tina Fey's book. She's amazing. And the thing I think that was most interesting and exciting to me about that is that I love that she can be both an entertainer and also a serious, respected businesswoman who's kind of building her own media empire. I mean, that's something that resonates with me a lot because I love music and performance. I sing with a cover band. I do a lot in that area. But, you know, when I step into my entrepreneur role, it's important to me to be taken seriously. And I love seeing someone who can bridge both worlds.
That's really cool. What's the name of your cover band?
It's called Seed Bomb. And it's all current and former Facebook employees. And what a seed bomb is, it's when one piece of news or content completely overwhelms your newsfeed. So, for example, the day Steve Jobs died, that was the feed bomb. That's probably the only thing that you saw in your newsfeed.
And what's your favorite song that your band plays?
Oh, gosh. We're, you know, we rock a lot of tunes. We do a lot of, you know, Journey, Bon Jovi. We recently added some Gaga to our set. So, basically, we play every song that you would hear after 2 a.m. in a bar.
That's awesome. Maybe you can entertain us in New York in May.
Randy, it's Joe Haley here. You've just launched R to Z Media, which will help companies take advantage of social media. You've also said you want to create your own live online show using what you've learned from Facebook Live and create your own channel. So, what can we expect to see from you in the next year?
Hopefully a lot. I'm so proud. I feel like I've really assembled a rock star launch team for R to Z Media, and we're targeting a launch early next year in Q1, probably February, March. It's fun, even though we haven't launched yet, we've already taken on a few pre-launch clients. I keep saying, you know, no clients, we're going to focus on the launch, but then I love any project that takes risks in the space, so when clients approach me with exciting projects, I can't say no to them. So we've actually done a few things already, but, you know, we're really focusing on being a social production company, on creating content and working with brands to create content that truly leverages social and the social viewing experience.
That's great. Well, Randy, we have one more question for you. This is Michelle Bell. What's the future of social media, in your opinion?
I think the future is truly mobile. I'm excited to see more and more companies creating beautiful experiences on mobile devices, on tablets. I'm kind of bridging all of those so you can have the experience of, you know, watching content on TV and having an incredible mobile experience simultaneously. And I also think that it'll be really interesting to see what happens with geolocation, of being able to offer deals in real time through mobile devices and whatnot. So I think we're just on the tip of the iceberg with mobile, and I'm super excited to see where we go.
And Randy, did I hear your baby in the background?
You do. I'm sorry about that. He's very vocal.
Oh, that's okay. I know that you had. How old is he?
He's 7 months old, and he's very excited for his radio debut.
Well, congratulations on that, too, and all your new great business ventures. We're so excited to see you at ASI New York in May. Thanks again, Randy Zuckerberg.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too.
Thanks, you too.
Check out asishow.com and be sure to get registered right away for the ASI show in early May. And I know there's some possibilities, tickets available, I think, to meet Randy Zuckerberg as well.
Maybe so a performance from Feed Bomb.
You know what? I would love that. Maybe we can.
That would be so cool, actually.
You know, after two, we can stay up till after 2 a.m.
That's right.
And coerce her into some tunes.
We've been known to do that before.
We need our own group.
We like Gaga. We like Bon Jovi. We like Gaga, right?
Yeah.
Everybody?
Sir?
Yeah, I'm a little scared by the idea of our own group.
Yeah, we don't.
We be called?
The editor.
We just be called Bombs.
Rewrite.
Yeah, the Bombs.
All right, we're going to pause right now for a commercial from today's show sponsor, I Promote You. And when we return, Kathy's going to tell us how to close a deal via email. Who doesn't want to do that? No one.
This portion of ASI Radio was sponsored by I Promote You. Distributors and salespeople, consider affiliating with I Promote You today. Be more productive, be more profitable, be happier, and retain your independence. I Promote You, the smart choice. For more information, call 800-857-3370 or email opportunities@ipromoteyou.com.
Welcome back to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show. We are just talking to Randi Zuckerberg of Facebook fame. She's going to be at ASI New York in May. Check it out at asishow.com. Register today to see her. She was awesome.
She's cool.
She was very cool. And she has a 7-month-old new baby, and she's launching this huge new firm.
And
she has
a band.
How cool is she? Way cooler than we are.
Cooler than us.
Definitely.
All right, Kathy. So most people wouldn't think of closing deals via email. So what's up with that?
And I still don't believe it, but Inc. Magazine says it's true. So I'll give you the steps that they say.
Well, you can't always come face-to-face with a client, so perhaps there's some application.
Right. I mean, I think maybe if you already have an established relationship with the person, you could. But anyway, this is what they say to do. First of all, define the problem, need, or goal, and in 1 to 2 sentences in your email, show the prospect that you understand the business situation based upon your original research. And then define the desired outcome in 1 to 3 sentences. Explain what will be different when the problem is solved and the need is fulfilled and how you can achieve that goal. And that's how you define the solution. Provide a brief overview of the solution you're proposing, tying the solution back to the customer's problems, obviously, needs or goals. Step 4, position for the close. Provide a key factor that differentiates you as a vendor and that makes you the right company for the prospect. And then finally, ask for the next step. Example, feel free to contact me if you have any questions or simply send a return email and we'll put the customization work on your schedule. And then after you do all that in the body of your email, go back and form the perfect subject line, which would be, a crisp summary of the desired outcome.
All right. And they say it is possible.
The proof is in the pudding, but we'll see.
You seem a little skeptical. I'm a little
skeptical.
If you're selling pudding.
Exactly.
I don't think you should be skeptical, Kathy.
You?
No, I think it's a skill you need to have. People want to communicate over email. So
You
should be able to sell over email,
too. Some people don't want to talk to you or see you.
No, I'm not suggesting.
I'm one of those people.
That money, exactly. Can't believe.
I'm not saying you want to do your whole sales process over email, but you should have the ability and maybe a template even to close a deal over email because people don't want to talk to you for every step of the
Andy,
sales process.
I like the new Andy, positive Andy.
Wow. Yeah. Now who's the Captain Killjoy of the group?
Killjoy.
Give him 2 minutes.
We are going to put these tips to closing a deal up on our website, asicentral.com/radio. But, Andy, it's December 6th today, I believe.
It is December 6th.
All right. So there's still time.
It's almost my birthday.
Happy birthday. And you're going to be 50, so congrats.
To overshadow Pearl Harbor Day.
Anyway, it's December. I know everybody's gearing up for the holidays. However, there are 3 important things that small business owners need to do before the end of the month. What are they?
Yeah, there are some things you want to do to close out the year. So the first is about taxes. You know, you always hear a lot of things that you could do at the end of the year to maybe reduce your taxes. So talk to your CPA. One of the main things you could do is sort of lowering your profits in 2011, which means you're going to be paying less taxes, and accelerating your expenses from 2012 into 2011. So if you have a big profitable year and you're trying to reduce some of your tax hit for 2011, you could accelerate some of your expected January 2012 expenses into 2011, lower those costs a little bit, lower those profits a little bit, and pay less taxes as a result. The second is to set up a qualified retirement account. If you have employees, it's a good idea for them, but most importantly for yourself. If you don't have one, many entrepreneurs often neglect the saving for retirement because they're spending on so many other things trying to get their business up and running. But not a good idea. If there's anything you can do to save for retirement today, that's the way to go. So don't be like many entrepreneurs and neglect it. Do it today. Do it in the month of December. The last is to update your technology systems. As 2012 starts, you don't want to have to be dealing with technology issues. You want to be, you want to have that under control. So update your systems. Maybe think about a cloud-based option in 2012, which could be easy for you. But evaluate your technology systems and figure out how to update them now rather than next month.
Thank you, Andy Cohn, and we'll have those tips on asicentral.com/radio.
You bet we will.
We're getting some emails and some texts and some calls about our topic earlier. We had Randi Zuckerberg from Facebook fame on the phone, and people have some questions. Hopefully we have some answers. Judy Brown has written in that she says, once in a while I'll see one of my local distributor competitors posting a thank you on Facebook to a client who's purchased promotional products, and I've done that a time or two myself. But I doubt that's the most effective way to use social media to generate more business. What are others doing that's proven effective? Okay, so first of all, do you think that's an effective way to use social media? You thank a client for an order on Facebook.
No.
Is that
I don't
the
think
most...
so.
I think it's a more personal thing to thank someone. Send them a card or, you know, send them a – if you're going to use Facebook, send them the, you know, private message.
Well,
know,
there's an agenda there, too. They're doing it for a reason publicly.
Right,
they're
right.
not
but,
just doing it to thank the person. They're doing
right,
it
but
to
I
show
would
that they have business.
But I would agree that it's really not the effective, most
it
effective
comes
way
off
to
as
use
bragging.
It.
It's
I would agree, too.
So what's something? What's a tip for Judy? Now, Randy, I had a great one.
Yeah.
Randy Zuckerberg. She said, I mean, really, it's all about the other person. It's not about you,
I think.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, she said to find a newspaper clipping or something, you know, that you saw about the company or the person and send that to them to let them know that you're interested.
Right.
You know,
and don't forget
in
to
discussion.
Tag them so it goes into their feed.
Or right, in their feed, you know, go on, even just go on their website, see what they're doing that's really cool, make a mention of it, and then do an ad that company. So it's a really easy way
and
to do
I think
it.
Sharing other people's, when you get the news feed, sharing other people's news that they post on their Facebook, sharing that on your with your audience too, that's a you know great way to engage.
And as retweeting.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
As far as thanking a client, though, handwritten thank you note and a promotional product is a gift.
That's true.
Yeah. You want to be
more
personal.
You can combine old tactics with
new tactics.
You
want to
be more personal with that, I would say.
I would agree.
We're so smart.
All right. On line one, we have Irv. Good morning, Irv.
Good morning, everyone. Great show this morning.
Thank you.
Thanks, Irv.
Hey, I wanted to comment on the email in closing the deal. I have noticed that it's very convenient for both the, you know, the person that you would normally be meeting with and obviously for yourself. It limits the amount of time running back and forth. You know, if you can provide the same service with limited number of trips, it certainly cuts down on your costs as far as gas and things like that. But the big thing is convenience that I would say, you know, where that all comes into play. But what I also have found is that in reading emails, if you've never met the person before, if you were given a lead from someone else or it kind of came through the pipeline that way, is the tone of the email. Sometimes you can read the words you think a customer might be saying in a certain tone when he might be saying in a completely different way. So you really have to be careful that you're both on the same page with the project in hand.
Right. Irv, have you ever closed a deal through email?
Oh, yes, just recently.
So I shouldn't be skeptical then?
Excuse me?
I shouldn't be skeptical then?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. And I subscribe to that Inc. magazine, and I think they really do have a lot of good things in there.
Well, thank you very much, Irv. Stay on the line for your Visa gift card, and have a great day.
Hey, you too.
All right, so there you have it.
All right, Andy.
On line three, we have Nicole.
I told you.
Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning. I was calling because of the email situation as well, kind of to get feedback, I guess, and to get some advice. I've met people and been able to, you know, follow up with them via email and really work to close the deal. But then I also had challenges where, you know, you're following up and, like, when is enough enough? So I know you guys aren't, like, 100% behind it, but what would you say is, like, too much to keep following up with someone?
Well, if they're not answering your email, I would definitely follow up with a phone call and say, I mean, sometimes your email goes into their spam folder for one reason or another. Don't you think, Andy?
Yeah, I do. I think if you've sent a couple emails and somebody's not getting back to you, then you have to get on the phone and try to track them down. But I would say that communicating with people over email, if they're getting back to you and they're conversive, then that's probably their preferred method of communication. I think you have to, early on in a sales process, determine exactly how a client wants to be communicated
right.
with. And, you know, you could outright ask them what's, you know, when we're talking about this or or I'm showing you spec samples or, you know, you're through the process, you could ask them how they want to be communicated with. Mm-hmm. But I think you'll get clues kind of throughout the process. Like Kathy said, if somebody's not getting back to you over email, it's not necessarily that they don't want to speak to you, but maybe that's just not how they want to speak to you. So pick up the phone and call them, or maybe it's sometimes somebody else who wants to deal in person.
And you can also always put the offer in there that you're always available to talk, you know, briefly on the phone if they have questions or anything like that.
Okay, perfect.
All right, well, good luck, Nicole. Thanks so much for calling in, and stay on the line for your Visa gift card. And Nicole, I know that you never, ever, ever make mistakes. However, you're going to tell us 10 mistakes made every day by small business owners. What do you have?
So I'm not going to tell you 10. I'm going to tell you a couple.
Well, there's your first mistake.
That's my first mistake. That's right.
What are the biggest ones?
Okay, so this one I really like, assuming you have no competition. So say you have the latest, greatest, never been done before approach to something. Don't assume that you have no competitors. And don't just look to your basic competitors like other distributors. Competition is also all the available alternatives to your clients for that particular problem that they have. So think about what else they could be doing instead of using your product or service to meet their end goal. And also think about what if they do nothing. So the customer always has the option of walking away. So you just need to think of that as a
So don't get
threat.
Too cocky is what
Correct.
You're really saying.
That's right. And think outside the box. Use a cliche in terms of what your competitors could be. You know, don't be a weak leader. I mean, that means, you know, you don't want to be sitting there cracking the whip at people and micromanaging. But, you know, you really want to have a clear vision of where your company's going, have clear goals, and communicate that to your team and make sure that they know that they're a part of achieving those goals. Make them feel that they're a part of it. And one more is don't cut price. So first thing a lot of people do when the economy gets tough is they cut price. But, you know, we hear this time and time again, cheaper prices mean more customers. That's wrong. Most customers are willing to pay more if they get better service. They can reach you on the phone. You have a good turnaround time and you have a proven track record. So price slashing is a dangerous game. So don't
Andy,
play
I
it.
Noticed I was just looking at the previews of the January Counselor.
Oh, you were. Worried.
I noticed that you have an article on how to deal with price-cutting competitors with
we
some
do. I think there's four or five steps on how to combat price cutters and beat them at the
And I don't think any
game.
Of them are cut price.
No, they're
Can
not.
Can I take that article for advantages?
Although there is a good tip in there. If you do feel like you're at a point where cutting price, where you're okay with it, if you've analyzed all the costs and everything and you're okay with it, at least try to get something back. That's a big tip that's in the article is, you know, try to negotiate something back from the client, like better terms on how they pay, or maybe
or
they'll give
business.
You 100% upfront or more business in the future. It's sort of contract type basis. So try to get something back.
All right. Well, thanks, Nicole. You're going to put all 10 of those tips online at asicentral.com/radio. Michelle.
Yes.
All right. So I've watched probably every Seinfeld episode ever made multiple times. And apparently, George Costanza is a business role model. Is that right?
He is. You remember the episode
Shocking.
Where he succeeded by doing everything the opposite?
The opposite. Right. Yes. Yes.
So he went the counterintuitive approach.
And he went up to the woman in the cafe and he's like, I have no job.
I live with my parents.
I live with my parents.
And she goes, hi.
Okay. So.
Well, business experts suggest that in business, you should do the same thing. Avoid what your competitors are doing. It's a way to set yourself apart from the competition. So, for example, avoid the hard sell. By doing this, you can set yourself apart from the crowd, build your brand, foster customer loyalty, and yes, sell. For example, instead of trying to sell your clients during the holidays, become a calm respite for them. Invite them over to your company for a Christmas party. Just give them time to relax. And don't hit them with, you know,
That's
sales
a great
pitches.
Idea.
Just get them in, socialize with them, give them a gift.
And a drink.
And a drink. God knows he has to drink. Here's an example. Instead of hitting up your clients for business, call them and say, listen, I'm just calling to wish you happy holidays, and I'd like to donate. I'm going to make a small donation to a charity of your choice.
Mm.
Nothing to do with sales. You're merely calling to, you know, suggest to them that you want to make a donation because it promotes goodwill.
Kathy likes that one.
Yeah. I do
well,
like that one.
Well, because it's counterintuitive.
You're going to steal that one, too?
Yes. I'm writing this all down.
And upsell, but upsell in a subtle way. So instead of, again, using a hard-hitting approach, try something like this. Did you know that if you buy, you know, 10 of these, we'll throw in 5 more for free?
Mm-hmm.
Try something like that, and that way you can incrementally get them to buy a little bit more. So it's just kind of doing things a little bit way, avoiding the hard sell, and taking a more creative, soft approach. And we'll put some of these ideas online on our website.
So what it really boils down to is whenever you're going to make a decision, you should first think WWGD.
Yes,
what would George do? And you'll be fine from there on out. All right, now it's time for Michelle's favorite segment of the show, where the editors talk about their favorite products of the week. Joe, you've been petting your bear the whole time. Literally.
All right, I like this little teddy bear. He's very festive with his Santa Claus hat. It comes off, so that is an optional hat, but he's got a logo T-shirt here. This is great for children's hospitals and pediatricians because kids are a little anxious when they go to the doctors if in the hospital for a procedure. Also great for high school and college bookstores and other stores because they can put their sorority letters and school mascots on there. And this is available from Vitronic Promotional Group. They are ASI 93390 and customer service at itronicpromotional.com.
He's Joe, got a little shirt on.
It is so cute.
Joe, can you put the hat on? On you.
I have headphones on. It won't work.
Come on.
Andy Cohn, what's your favorite product of the week?
All right. It was just my son's birthday, and we bought him a Papa Shot game. Papa
what
Shot
happened to the
game.
Dog?
Forget the dog. There's no dog. Please. So somebody has to put this thing together, and that means I'm going to need a lot of tools. So my favorite product of the week is this 5-screwdriver set with flattened Phillips heads. Great for home improvement or auto repair or equipment manufacturers. It's available from Target Line, which is ASI 90640.
All right, Kathy, what's your favorite thing?
I like that. Well, Charity Charms ASI 44616 combines the popular silicone wristbands with custom pewter 3D charms for awareness causes, school fundraisers, all kinds of stuff. They make custom charms, and they're all made by adults with disabilities. These are a unique idea, of course, for fundraising, walkathons, and more. And you could go to charitycharms.com and read all about them.
Michelle, bring us home.
Okay, from Little Black Dress Promotions, ASI 67735, we have frozen drink mixes that come in these little decorative bags that you can give out for the holidays.
Why don't we have some?
They have
samples, please.
They have a frozen peach Bellini mix, which I think is the one I'll be ordering.
You would like that.
They have a margarita mix, mojito, sangria, and a whole bunch of other options.
I like that. I would like all of those.
I'll take the mojito
just
mix.
In time for the holidays and New Year's.
How about?
And any day at ASI. All those products are available. You can take a look at them right now up on our website, asicentral.com/radio. We are out of time today. Thanks to Randy Zuckerberg for calling us today. And thanks to today's show sponsor, I Promote You. And thanks for listening. Have a great week. And tune in next week when we'll have more of our editors' very favorite things.